All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the Wednesday, March 13th, 2019 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Now we'll turn it over to legal counsel for the rules of conduct. Good afternoon.
Welcome, thank you. Comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you are filming the proceedings, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
And that was not directed towards anybody, Chris Warner. colleagues, just a reminder, there were a couple of items we pulled from this morning session into this afternoon session. So we'll do item 235. Then we have a gap where we will put in items 230, 231, followed by 229, and then we'll come back to item 236. We should be okay doing that. So first item, Keelan, item number 235.
Biketown 2018 Annual Report.
Commissioner Udaly.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I'm just going to immediately hand this off to Interim Director Chris Warner.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor, City Commissioners, Chris Warner, PBOT. So today we have some exciting news in terms of sharing this annual report for our bike share system. Along with me are my colleagues from PBOT, Roshan Kurian, Liz Horman, and Steve Hoyt McBeth. And I'll share a few highlights and they'll get into the technical work. In addition to releasing this annual report, which provides kind of more, this will provide more detail on the presentation. But given our strong 2018, we really think and there's an upcoming RFP in terms of kind of the next version of where we're going with this with the Biketown contract and the expansion of the system. We felt it was really the right time to come before council. Okay, like Portland Streetcar and the Aerial Tram, PBOT owns Biketown. It launched in July of 2016. PBOT funded it through a $2 million federal grant we got through Metro. Biketown is a public-private partnership which allows PBOT to provide the public service with very little public expenditure. Nike is Biketown's title sponsor. The five-year, $10 million agreement allowed Portland to expand the number of bikes that we had initially to 1,000 and helps us to cover the costs of operating the system. Kaiser Permanente, which has been a longtime supporter of Sunday Parkways, is also a secondary sponsor for Biketown. We really appreciate all they do for the community. And we'll be bringing them up a little bit later, but Carol Collymore from Nike and Miguel Villarreal from Kaiser Permanente are here as well to talk a little bit about this year's Biketown presentation. So Biketown is really part of three components. Biketown for All, which provides service to people living with low incomes. Adaptive Biketown, which focuses on serving people with disabilities. And our mass market program, which is the Biketown that you all have heard about. So Biketown is a smart bike system. Unlike other large bike share systems, Biketown bicycles can be parked anywhere within the service area, primarily along some of the 147 stations in the service area. Users who park at any of the 147 stations only pay the fee for the ride. Those who park at a public bike rack will pay an extra $2 convenience fee. And those who find a bike and return it out from outside the station to one of the stations will receive a $1 ride credit. So from our user survey with members, we know the Bike Town is meeting its primary goal of reducing trips and congestion. Among local users, about a quarter of Bike Town rides are replacing either a personal driving or taxi or Uber, and over 60% of the people that have joined Bike Town have reported biking more. So that's something that's really encouraging for us. In 2018, Bike Town work focused really on two main goals. One is to bring new people to bicycling by removing financial or structural barriers, and the other is really to engage the broader community in celebration of Portland culture, which we're looking forward to sharing with you in a moment. I'll let Roshan, Liz, and Carol speak to many of the other 2018 initiatives, but I'm going to highlight a couple before I turn it over to them. In celebration of National Bike Month and the what we call the kickoff to fair weather riding, Bike Town launched Free Ride May. So this May gave everyone who wanted 90 minutes of free bike riding each day on the Bike Town system. In addition, we created this dockless system that allowed people to park it at any bike rack, not necessarily at the stations themselves, but anywhere within the service area. This very popular promotion resulted in Bike Town breaking its single-day trip record 9 times. But people took over 80,000 trips on Bike Town in May of 2018. Most important to PBOT's desire to introduce new people to bicycling, 11,000 locals rode Bike Town for the first time during May. So that was those are really great results for us. This summer, Bike Town partnered with Portland State University to provide free annual memberships to full-time students. Over 3,000 PSU students have become members. Clint Culpepper from PSU was here today, and he'll speak a little bit more about this initiative. And in June, Bike Town conducted the second expansion of the service area to the 50s bikeway in southeast and northeast Portland. Also, Bike Town changed its pricing structure, making it less expensive to ride. Bike Town reduced its annual membership fee to $99. And after paying a one-time $5 registration fee, casual users can pay 8 cents per minute and making shorter trips more economical for people that don't want to be monthly members. In September, Portland hosted the North American Bike Share Conference. It was a 4-day conference with over 330 attendees from all over the U.S., Canada, and Latin America, and they came to Portland really to spotlight our transportation innovation that we're doing here. So these initiatives and others that Liz, Roshan, and Carol will speak about resulted in really a fantastic year for Bike Town. The annual membership increased by 87% in 2018. 124,000 people rode Bike Town in 2018, and the ridership grew 22% to over 400,000 trips. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Roshan, and she'll talk a little bit about more of the findings that we have in the annual report.
Thanks, Chris. Again, my name is Roshan Kurian. I've been managing the Bike Town for All program, which provides a reduced-cost Bike Town membership for Portlanders that are living on a low income. The overall goal of the program is to increase access to bike share while reducing barriers to moving around Portland by bike. So Bike Town for All has been super successful in that it has grown, more than doubling between 2017 and 2018 in memberships. And in fact, within our Bike Town for All member group, we have seen more ridership and folks riding all throughout the year, including winter, compared to other conventional Bike Town members. So the way that Bike Town for All works is that members can sign up online and pay $3 a month by linking their credit or debit card or by choosing the cash option. Portlanders are eligible if they're Oregon Trail cardholders, residents of affordable housing, if they qualify for utility assistance or other social services. In the past, members who were unbanked or wary of linking their accounts were only able to pay by cash by coming to a workshop in person and then paying every subsequent month by coming to the parks office and handing over their $3. That is no longer the case. We still offer these workshops where folks can learn about the system, learn the rules of the road, and collect a free helmet. But now, through an initiative that we call Pay It Forward, every new member's first month is free. I will talk more about Pay It Forward in a moment. Go to Bike Town for All was designed based on the needs of the customers we want to serve. So national research has showed that people living on low incomes were less likely to sign up for something if there's possibility of fees or overdrafting accounts. So we consciously removed these unwelcome costs like out-of-station fees, parking out of the service area fees, and fees for going over the 90-minute per day time limit. We provide a ride credit if members bring bikes back to the Bike Town station, providing an opportunity to pay for their membership. So for every 3 bikes that are brought back to a Bike Town station, you can essentially pay for the next month of your membership. So that allows, so we've created a system that allows people that actually use Bike Town to pay for it by offering a highly discounted, almost free rate. So here we see a snapshot of growth for the program. As of the end of 2018, there were 495 Bike Town for All members, riding over 66,000 trips in total, which is about 20% of all annual trips, all annual member trips. We've made improvements, have done outreach in populations that tend to get overlooked, such as our populations experiencing homelessness, joblessness, or going through recovery. We see Bike Town as a valuable public service for people to achieve their goals, whether that's getting to a job interview, selling newspapers for as a street roots vendor, or finding ways to exercise while traveling around Portland. So people think of biking as a spring and summer activity, but Bike Town for All, high ridership across the year has shown that Bike Town is truly a transportation mode for many. So I briefly mentioned Pay It Forward initiative that we started in October of last year. So we were racking our heads trying to figure out how to get over that initial final financial hurdle of signing up folks that are unbanked. So we thought of just paying the $3. We thought of a third-party service that lets you pay for your memberships at a 7-Eleven or Walgreens, but those ended up being dead ends. So instead, we thought of a creative way that doesn't require much staff time or a budget to maintain. We noticed that Bike Town for All members averaged around $24 positive balance credit from rebalancing the system, which means bringing a bike back to a station, and that regular annual members also had a lot of Bike Town credit. So starting in October, all Bike Town for All members who get their first month free can choose to pay it forward as well when they sign up for their own membership. So once they have accumulated 6 months worth of Bike Town credit in membership, they pay it forward and send that excess credit into a fund that pays for the first month for future Bike Town for All members. We also started a holiday campaign for Pay It Forward, targeting regular annual members to donate their rebalancing credit as well. And we received over 1,500 Bike Town credit dollars, which translate to 514 new Bike Town for All members that can sign up with their first month free. And there are already 72 new members taking advantage of this. So I mentioned that on average, Bike Town for All members rebalance about 24 bikes a year, translating to $24 in Bike Town credit that can be used to continue membership. But we also have some superstars amongst our Bike Town for All members. Here's one of them, Lynn Stransky. He's our front runner for rebalancing the most bikes in our system. Lynn has moved over 1,068 bikes back to stations as of the end of last year. I think well over 1,100 at this point, and has moved up to 40 bikes in one day. Part of Lynn's words, he says, "I like the challenge of bringing bikes back to the stations. My goal is to get up to $1,800 in Bike Town credits so I have the next 50 years paid for. Rebalancing bikes has helped me walk and bike a lot more and works together with my changes in diet to give me better health." So we thank Lynn and other super balancers who help keep our Bike Town system balanced. And now I turn it over to Liz Horman, who will talk to us about Adaptive Bike Town.
Great. Thanks, Roshan. My name is Liz Horman, and I'm the program manager for Adaptive Bike Town. Adaptive Bike Town is Portland's adaptive bike rental program that is focused on increasing access to biking for people with disabilities. The program was launched in July 2017 and has operated over the last 2 summer seasons as a pilot project. This pilot phase was a partnership between PBOT and Albertina Kerr Bikes with program sponsors of Nike, Different Spokes, and Metro. So a little more on the background of how the pilot project was developed. Adaptive Bike Town was really born out of a mistake. When Bike Town launched in the summer of 2016, the program had not fully considered how it would provide access to people who were not able to or not comfortable riding two-wheeled bicycles. And this was quickly followed by 2 formal requests for accommodation to the city, as well as direct feedback from people with disabilities and their family members, including Commissioner Udaly. At the time, the commissioner in charge of PBOT and the PBOT director directed staff to develop a program that would address the specific needs and the requests that the Bureau was hearing from the community. So staff began having a number of one-on-one meetings talking with a number of people with disabilities, with community organizations that serve older adults, as well as people with disabilities, and others within the adaptive bike community within Oregon and around the country. Additionally, we hosted a broader online survey that was distributed through these community organizations, as well as Portland's Disability News, which is run out of the Office of Community and Civic Life. And really, we wanted to hear about how people would use a bike share system and what elements were most important to them. So out of those conversations, three key themes really started to emerge. The first was a desire for a staff service. People wanted help getting fitted on adaptive bikes as well as using other adaptive equipment that would help them ride. Second was access and close proximity to multi-use trails. This was because people expressed a desire to ride for recreation as opposed to their transportation needs, and they felt most comfortable riding on our multi-use paths and trails. And finally, there was a request for a place to be able to store their mobility device or their service animal during the ride. So using these three concepts, staff worked with an extremely dedicated work group to finalize those program development pieces and get ready for launch in 2017. That work group actually met every month for about a five-month period from January to that July date to really get this program off the ground. As I mentioned earlier, the pilot phase of Adaptive Bike Town has run for 2 years. We're about to enter our third year of the program with a more formal contract with Kerr Bikes to make this program permanent. So how does Adaptive Bike Town work? As I'm sure you can already tell, it functions a little bit differently than a traditional bike share system. So first, a participant can make a reservation via our online rental portal. This allows and ensures that the bike is available when somebody wants to ride, but also allows them to provide some information about themselves to help the fitting process. However, a program participant can also just drop into the Kerr Bikes OMSI location and rent a bike on the spot. Next, the participant works with our great Kerr Bike staff to get fitted on the bike and get ready for their ride. And then they can ride. They're allowed they can take the bike wherever they'd like to. We've had people go down to Selwood and beyond, take them out to their neighborhoods. The one piece is that then they'll need to return the bike to the Kerr Bike's location at the end of their ride. So again, this process really was developed to respond directly to what the community was asking for and why it made so much sense to partner with Kerr Bikes, an existing bike rental shop. So our current Adaptive Bike Town fleet has about 15 bikes and is comprised of tricycles, hand cycles, as well as tandems. In 2018, thanks to a sponsorship grant from Nike, we were actually able to add some additional program bikes. We added an additional side-by-side tandem, which was one of our most popular rentals during the first year, as well as adding two e-assist tricycles. After that first year, we had a number of requests from users asking, can we add some e-assist bikes that would help people ride longer and further on these adaptive bikes? So 2018 was a great successful year for Adaptive Bike Town. Over the 6 months of our season, we had 189 rentals, which was up 220% from our 2017 season. We also participated in all five Sunday Parkways events, including the first ever Everyone Rides event at the June Sunday Parkways. This was an adaptive bike clinic that was focused on youth, but other adults, where they could test out various adaptive bikes in a closed-off area that was right along the Sunday Parkways route. Additionally, in 2018, 87% of our riders qualified for TriMet's Honored Citizen Pass, which are people with disabilities, Medicare recipients, and seniors age 65 and older, really showing that Adaptive Bike Town is serving the people we intended with the design of the program. So finally, I just wanted to wrap up with some of the positive feedback we're hearing about the program. You'll hear some more from our invited testimony later, but this feedback is really a testament to the work of our work group participants as well as the day-to-day operations of the Kerr Bike staff. So Deidre Hall was a member of our work group and has attended nearly every Sunday Parkways over the last 2 years to be an Adaptive Bike Town ambassador. She's ridden the routes, spreading the word about the program that she's very excited about. She wasn't able to attend today, but wanted to share sort of a written statement she'd prepared. So this is from Deidre. I have been fortunate to be a part of this incredible program since the formation of the pilot. Being involved from the planning to implementation has been not only a professional success, but a personal one as well. A person with a disability myself, I hadn't ridden an adaptive bicycle since childhood, and I was so thrilled to be given the opportunity to do so as an adult. People with disabilities have little to no choice what adaptive equipment they use for mobility, and Adaptive Bike Town offers folks the ability to choose, within their abilities, a recreational vehicle of sorts to experience our beautiful city in a new way, which is not only fun, but also good for the body, the mind, and for the soul. Watching the program take shape and the smiles on the faces of my fellow disability community members, experiencing the excitement and empowerment of adaptive bicycle riding, many for the first time, has been priceless. And I have and will continue to be an active ambassador at as many events as I can and spread the word and encourage people to participate in this incredible program. So again, just want to thank Deidre for her kind words and her work throughout the lifetime of this program. So now I'm going to hand this over to Steve Hoyt Macbeth, that's going to talk about expansion. And
great therapy. Report. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Hoyt Macbeth. I'm the section manager in PBOT's Active Transportation and Safety Division, and I'm the overall manager for our Bike Town program. As we tried to communicate today, we believe that Bike Town is meeting the primary goals that Council directed it to meet when we first initiated the program, which is increasing transportation choices, increasing bicycle access, especially to underserved communities, and to reduce reliance on automobiles, reducing car trips, and reducing car ownership. So what's always bothered us, both on the staff level and we know on the community level, is that while we've done a lot of great things with Bike Town, we've never been able to serve all of Portland. There's many parts of Portland that did not have access to Bike Town, even though we've done two expansions in terms of the service area since we kicked the program off in the summer of 2019. And the primary reason... 2016, sorry, I'm battling our illness right now, so I'm half here. But my spirit's here very strongly, but my cognitively, I'm about half here. So the main primary reason for that is simply funding. When we first went after the grant that Director Warner mentioned in 2012, the council gave us a direction that no city funds should be used toward the operation of the program. And we've tried, as we said, through kind of the creativity of our system to increase the service area. We haven't been able to increase the number of bicycles that are available in the system, which has meant that the access to the system in terms of how reliable it is has been limited. So thankfully, we have an opportunity to remedy that situation. Our contract with our operator expires this year, and we plan to put out a new RFP to bring the system back up for an expansion. And in this time, the business model and kind of the economics of bike share has changed significantly. In the past 12 months, we've seen significant investment in private capital into many of the major bike share companies. And so it's allowed us to craft an RFP that really has the goal that we've had all along, which is to serve the entire city with bike share. And as part of that expansion, a major part of it will be prioritizing expansion into underserved neighborhoods. So when we do expand as part of the result of the new RFP, the first neighborhoods that will come on board will be areas that have been historically underserved that are not currently served by Bike Town. Secondly, we want to make sure that Bike Town is as attractive to as many trips as possible and that it's attractive to people who either are just not interested in biking in its current form, or because of they may have challenges to biking. So one of the primary components of the new RFP will be a requirement of electric assist bicycles that will allow us to attract more rides. And also with our expansion into outer neighborhoods, which from the data suggests that trips in outer neighborhoods tend to be longer, the electric assist will allow users in our outer neighborhoods to have biking be more conducive to more trips. And from the research that we've seen in both Europe and the U.S., people are biking at much greater rates when electric bikes are available. And also the disparity that we see between men and women in riding is pretty much eliminated with e-bikes. So even though Portland has one of the better representations of women within the ridership of bike share, we still see a significant gap between men and women. So we're hoping that e-bikes will allow us to remedy that to a certain extent. And then finally, we really want to see adaptive bikes as part of the on-demand bike town system. So that will that would be the first time that any major bike share system has incorporated adaptive bikes as part of an on-demand system. There are some small campus systems that do have adaptive bikes, but it's never been really kind of shown as a in a major way. And so this is the third main component of the new RFP that we'll see. And I'll just say that with the incorporation of adaptive bikes into the Bike Town system, we plan to keep the Adaptive Bike Town program because, as Liz mentioned, we heard so strongly and clearly from the community that we're trying to serve that many of them needed a service that had a staff service and the ability to be fitted on the bike and also to store either a mobility device, a service animal, or just some of their materials. So this would likely be a three-wheel trike for people who do not use a mobility device but still do not feel comfortable or able to ride a conventional two-wheel bike. That is the end of our PBOT staff testimony. We do have a number of invited testimony members, and I guess with the pleasure of the mayor, we would like to invite them up, or would you like to have staff comments at this time?
First of all, I think we have some questions for this panel, and then let's go ahead and bring it up. Commissioner Fritz.
Yesterday, didn't we hear about a budget ask for the adaptive bike program? Could you explain what that
is? Yeah, we had as part of our general fund request, we had asked for $50,000 in terms of trying to help the program. And so, you know, we've talked internally. If that's, we'll have to figure out what to do. Like you asked yesterday, we'll have to figure out how to pay for that if we don't get the general fund money.
Right. Because, as was pointed out in the presentation, by the way, thank you. It was an excellent presentation. I really was inspired by it. It's an accommodation that's required. So I'm wondering why that's not part of the request for proposals that, just like we did with Uber and Lyft, that they had to provide some kind of mechanism for people with disabilities to get car rides. Why isn't it going to be part of the request for proposal?
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. As we mentioned, no other city, any major bike share city, has incorporated adaptive bikes into their on-demand fleet, and staff anticipates a fair amount of staff time on our part in order to make sure that that incorporation is done in a thoughtful manner, in a skilled manner. What we've learned over time is that an industry in general oftentimes has good intentions, but is not always the best driver of innovation when it comes to equity. And so we felt the part of that request was for just trying to compensate for the staff time to make sure that that happens in a meaningful and thoughtful manner.
Okay. I still think it should be a required accommodation under the Americans with Disability Act, that it's not optional, I'm assuming, for private companies to not provide services any more than it is for us. Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. Great presentation. Thank you so much. So I'm going to show how uneducated I am on this terminology. What is an e-bike?
Electric bike.
Oh, an electric bike. I kept sitting here going, what's an e-bike? What is an e-bike, right? you talked about the new RFP will address historically underserved districts. However, the historically underserved districts now look very, very new, right? But the new underserved districts, however, are the ones that are filled of low-income people and people of color. So if I was responding to an RFP that talked about the historically underserved district, I'd be all in the inner northeast Portland trying to put as many bike racks up as I could, right? Because traditionally, that would have been a very underserved community. How are we going to ensure that folks in East Portland have the same opportunities that folks downtown and Northeast currently enjoy?
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. The RFP refers specifically to East Portland.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, that I think just that was just me trying to compress a meeting, so my apologies on that. And my apologies also for speaking in code around electric bikes.
No worries. Sitting here feeling so...
Does it reference Deep Southwest as well?
The only requirement that we speak in the RFP to the entire city of Portland, so that's the goal, is the entire municipal boundaries of the city of Portland. In terms of a phasing of the project, we have phased East Portland as a priority area because of other investments that we have there and partnerships that we have in that area.
Well, when you get to Southwest, make sure you've got plenty of those electric bikes.
Excellent.
All right, this is going downhill fast. Commissioner Daly.
Was that a transportation pun, Mayor? Sorry. So thanks for the great presentation. You answered half of my questions. I'm thrilled to hear that we're looking to both better serve the whole city and expand access to adaptive bikes, which, as mentioned, I had a small part in that just by running my mouth in the media. And while I'm pleased that we have this really specialized, somewhat labor-intensive offering where people can get custom, somewhat customized bikes and or at least fitted to them, and the storage and the one-on-one. There's plenty of people, like you said, that don't need that level of service. There's a lot of people who don't know how to ride bikes, but also just may have almost invisible challenges that make bike riding dangerous or impossible. So just a couple quick questions. One is, and I apologize if you already answered this, what's the income cutoff for our low-income program?
There's no income cutoff. It's basically if you qualify for other social services or if you have an Oregon Trail card or... So if you qualify for other low-income programs, you automatically qualify for Bike Town for All.
And that would be the only way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just curious because I'm, again, glad we have that program. And I have nothing to compare it to say whether or not we're reaching enough people. But I certainly know that there's, thousands of very low-income people in our community, and just a few hundred of them are using it. So I'm going to just flag that as a concern. Just do people know how to access that program? And also, is our kind of means testing reasonable, considering how low income you have to be to qualify for food stamps, for instance?
Sure. And there is an option when you're signing up, if you're unsure, if you're low income, reach out directly. And I have had people call directly, and then I just... talk to them, and there have been people that have said, I've recently transitioned into this, but I haven't gotten my Oregon Trail card, or I haven't signed up, or I don't, they're in that transitional phase, and so that's kind of at our own,
Sure.
So that does come up.
Commissioner Daly, if I could add, I'm not aware of any person who has applied for the Bike Town for All program who we have denied.
Great.
And I think that you spoke to the greater barrier that we face, which is just getting the word out in education. We've used a variety of both grassroots and kind of social media tools to try to get the word out. We try to partner with as many community organizations as we can, both social service and just more community-based organizations. Really for us, The challenge is just trying to reach people and to make those community connections. And we found, such as with Street Roots, which is one of the our invited testimony, that we do the best when we have those strong connections to do so.
Great. And that kind of, I guess, public awareness piece leads me to my next question, which is, I'm not a Bike Town user. I have my own bike. And as a relatively small frame person, I find the bikes a little unwieldy. And I do see people who I'm going to assume are tourists using the bikes improperly, whether they're riding on downtown sidewalks, they're riding the wrong way on our bike paths, they're riding down MLK, which is just terrifying to me to see. Do we offer any kind of basic information about how to safely ride a bike in our city? Because we have... kind of unique rules and infrastructure, perhaps?
We do. And we also, we see the same things that you see. I think it's the challenge of having an on-demand transportation service with that involves biking, both in the app and then actually right in the inset of the basket. So something that if you're looking down, it says no biking on sidewalks, obey all traffic laws. We don't say anything about not riding on arterials. We hope that that's just an intuitive thing for people.
It is not, apparently.
Yes. But that is a challenge, and we're hoping in the new RFP that we'll be able to see more things happen through the app that kind of give people some more cues on how to use things.
Yeah,
wisely.
I mean, people may not like this, but I just went through an experience at Randall Children's Hospital where I had to demonstrate that I had watched a series of videos about PICC lines before I could take my son home. Mm-hmm. So maybe we need to make people watch a series of short videos or answer questions on basic safety. I just, as someone who feels personally responsible for everyone who is hurt on our streets, I'm interested in that safety issue. And then finally, I'll just say that unfortunately, none of the major bike share vendors are adequately serving people with disabilities. I mean, as we know, there's a lot of loopholes in the ADA, and people just flout the laws altogether. So I do want to push that. Maybe we can spark change in the industry, but it is a situation where it's a relatively low volume and, you know, hard to serve, low profit. We probably are going to have to continue to partner and put some city resources into meeting the needs of all people with disabilities who want to access our program.
Commissioner Fritz and then Commissioner Hardesty.
Chris Jobs, he keeps yielding to me, so I'll leave it to
you. Oh, no worry. Actually, Commissioner Udaly led me to a question that I always ask. Is it required that people use helmets on these bikes?
It's on the instructions. It's on the list of things inside the
It's encouraged,
basket.
But you have to be currently 18 years to use Bike Town legally, or by the user agreement. And at that age, you are not required by state law to wear a helmet. So there's not a requirement to use the helmet. In all of our materials, we encourage people to wear a helmet, but it's not a requirement.
And that was because I badgered them when we were having it in place, so at least put the sign in. So, Commissioner Dealey, I'm so excited to hear you saying that you should have to watch a video or something to figure it out. Do we have statistics on either crashes or minor accidents where people have fallen off and grazed their knees or whatever?
We have not had any reports of major injuries on Bike Town. And given the litigious nature of our society, we know it's not an accurate read of the actual numbers, but we would assume that if somebody had a serious crash on Bike Town, we would know about it through our legal department. And I think that actually resonates with the North American data on safety on bike share. It has a very strong safety record in terms of the crash rate and actually having a much lower, especially serious crash rate than people riding private bicycles.
Well, that's what we were told, and it actually relates to the clunkiness of the heavy weight of the bikes, that they're relatively difficult. It would be good in future reports to affirmatively tell us that they haven't, and in particular, presumably people have carelessly not stood them up properly and they've fallen over, they've gotten damaged or whatever. It would be interesting and helpful to me to know what kind of a damage record do they have beyond, you know, your expected flat tires.
One last question for me, I guess. So we have now had a trial with scooters, and I've heard just anecdotally that did not impact bike share, but I'm wondering if you have any data on that you could share with us.
Steve can probably the numbers, but yeah, it was somewhat surprising because the numbers didn't drop. I think there have been anecdotal from other cities where once the bike share system was introduced, or the scooters were introduced, that the bike share dropped off. But actually, we had some very strong months and was pretty consistent from the year before.
We had a 22% increase year over year for 2018. During the scooter pilot, we saw a 6% increase in rides. And I think that what was what was surprising to us is that when we, in our scooter user survey, we asked people if they'd used particular modes in the past. Among scooter users who took the survey, 42% said they never biked, and 74% said they'd never used Biketown. So the e-scooters seemed, from the user survey, it seemed to suggest that people who use scooters were not previous Biketown members. In other words, that e-scooters were attracting new people to kind of like small machine sort of transportation modes.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I don't know what to make of it yet. That is interesting. Okay. Great. So you have another panel, is that correct? All right. I'll let you introduce them. Thank you. Chris, do you want to introduce whoever's on the next panel?
I can introduce them. I can introduce them. It's
Miguel Villarreal.
Well, Carol needs no introduction. If she's the next panel, that's...
Ryan Ross, Kaya Sand,
very good. And not to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm keeping my eye on our large novelty City Hall clock just because we do have a full agenda this afternoon.
I've already got one of these.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, weirdly enough, I happen to have a bunch of these.
Okay. We have more if you need to share.
Okay.
Fighting over them over
here. What's that?
I know.
That's the one I was missing.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Miguel Villarreal, and I am representing Kaiser Permanente, and it is an honor to testify on behalf of Biketown. As a nonprofit health plan, Kaiser Permanente's mission is to provide high-quality, affordable healthcare services and to improve the health of our members and the communities we serve. Through our community health partnerships and investments, we go beyond our clinics and hospitals, working together to create places and policies that impact access to opportunity and health. We strive to facilitate health equity in our communities. This means engaging communities most impacted by health disparities and acknowledging and addressing current and historic injustices and discrimination. Our prioritized community health needs, which drive our areas of focus and investment, include access to healthcare, economic opportunity, including investments in affordable housing, oral health, mental health and wellness, and chronic disease prevention and treatment. It's not just about Kaiser Permanente members. Of course, we are a part of a community, and we are thrilled to partner with the City of Portland and Biketown to create neighborhoods in which physical activity is safe and accessible for all. The city had a vision, and Kaiser Permanente joined the ride about 11 years ago to bring Sunday parkways to life, to neighborhoods, opening streets and parks to people of all ages and backgrounds. I want to thank the city for their leadership and commitment to opening our streets and neighborhoods and connecting. We believe that health is more than healthcare. That's why we partner with organizations and agencies across our region, like Biketown, to create health in neighborhoods, schools, and work sites. Sunday Parkways offers a fun way for people to be active with friends and family. People of all backgrounds, ages, and abilities enjoy moving their bodies in a safe and welcoming environment. And we are very excited about our 2019 plans, which include the ideas of exercise, food, music, and play as medicine. This summer, Kaiser Permanente will be prescribing the City of Portland a bike ride, great food, beautiful music, and time for play. With partners like Biketown, the health benefits of Sunday Parkways extend beyond physical activity into mental health and social connectedness. You see more smiles on the Sunday Parkways routes than any other place in Portland. Friends and neighbors interact in ways that may not happen otherwise, and that hopefully leads to stronger neighborhood connections and improved safety. Addressing individual and community health in this holistic way is critical now more than ever. Together, we will explore historic neighborhoods, local business districts, and places we never knew existed, each route having its own unique feel, complete with the best parks, amazing local food, and new friends. And I think it's a fair thing to say that we have something very special going on here, and we look forward to our continued partnership with the City of Portland and Biketown, and invite you to join us throughout the summer as we celebrate partnership, civic pride, amazing parks, safe, accessible streets, and most importantly, our total health. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
Just say that I really like the signs that you have up along the way, you know, the informational health signs like cinnamon is good for your brain. I liked that one a lot. I've been
We have a lot of fun making those, so thank you for saying so, Commissioner.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Carol Collymore, and I work as Senior Manager of Social and Community Impact at Nike. We are pleased and honored to be title sponsors of Biketown because we know the power of sport moves the world, and in this case, moves our city. Portland is a vibrant place to live, and because of its incredible energy and maker quality, this is the perfect city for a bike share collaboration to succeed. And Biketown has succeeded. With Biketown, we honor place, our roots, and the past, present, and future of Nike in Portland together. Portland is also our home, and it's home for over 12,000 of our teammates. Biketown also gives Nike the opportunity to engage the community through design. Since its launch in 2016, the iconic orange Biketown bikes have been a strong part of the city's personality. Fun, bold, active, and innovative. It's a great tribute to Portland. Since then, we've launched the Air Max Safari Sneaker Collection Wraps and Be True Collection Wraps that celebrate our LGBTQIA friends and family. We introduced the Biketown Design Challenge as our way of celebrating Biketown and Portland's community that's embraced it. We invited all Oregonians to show us what the city means to them through their artistic talent and unique spin on Biketown. We had five amazing winners in the design collection, and I'm sure you've seen the amazing bikes, from the Paul Bunyan bike from North Portland to the gorgeous pistachio bike with all of our favorite Southeast locales. Now, we didn't plan for my two favorite bikes to be here, but we work so well together, they read my mind. In 2019, we are using that spirit of engagement through design by introducing the Culture Collection. The Culture Collection Wrap celebrates some of the communities and cultures that make up the fabric of Portland. Our first two releases honored Black History Month and Women's History Month. They were made in collaboration with Black Employees and Friends Network and the Women of Nike and Friends, part of Nike's employee networks that are collectively called Nike United. Both networks led the design process for their unique bike wraps, and both of them are also behind me. Future Culture Collection designs will also be created in collaboration with our other Nike employee networks. Finally, we want to support Portlanders who want to use alternative transportation, but a Biketown bike may not be accessible for them. For the last 2 years, we've been a sponsor of Adaptive Biketown, resulting in adding electric assist adaptive bikes. In conclusion, Nike is happy to be a partner with Portland Bureau of Transportation and Lyft in this one-of-a-kind collaboration. I am personally grateful to work with Steve Hoyt Macbeth and Tom Ralskup and Dorothy Mitchell on this work. Thank you for your time and happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Carol.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Ferguson. Thank you. Speaking to Peabody and City Council for inviting me today to share my experience using Adaptive Biketown. I come here today to share my perspective as a member of the disability community, which is the largest minority in the world and the least able to advocate for themselves. I come here today to make 2 points. One, it is special when government and business can come together and declare that inclusivity and accessibility are important. In short, it validates our right to equality. People with disabilities face a lot of stigma. I know I often feel a sense of liability been asking for accommodations in public, or that, you know, somehow I'm a burden to resources. Disability in general is simply misunderstood, and it's difficult to counteract that. Like I said, people with disabilities are the least able to self-advocate. We need business and government to come together and say adaptability and accessibility are important. This program indirectly promotes the idea that it's okay to adapt. Accessibility is not a burden, and people with disabilities have the right to access the same experience as everybody else. My second point is that this is really fun. I come from the East Coast, and the city is beautiful. I love the chance to see a side of Portland that I would not be able to see without this program. Also, you know, I'm still getting used to these long, dark winters, and you know, this program is a great way to. This program provides a very easy way to exercise and rehabilitate myself after mental. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate it. Thank you for your continued advocacy. The only thing I disagree with you on is I thought the winters on the East Coast were much darker and much longer.
Well, there's more concrete, so it offsets.
And more shoveling.
Yeah, a lot more
shoveling. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Council. I'm Ryan Ross. I'm here representing Albertina Kerr Centers and Kerr Bikes as the operational arm of Adaptive Bike Town. At Albertina Kerr, our vision is that all people thrive in nurturing and inclusive communities, and that we can empower people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, mental health challenges, and other social barriers to lead self-determined lives and discover their full potential. At Kerr Bikes, we want to create an environment where our clients can enjoy active recreation, feel comfortable navigating new social environments, and learning new job skills, and where we can commit to a quality customer service experience and give back to the public we serve. We've incorporated Adaptive Bike Town into that mission because it seemed already apparent to us in working with our clients for over 10 years. We know firsthand that not everyone can ride a traditional upright two-wheel bicycle. And prior to Adaptive Bike Town, we already offered some three- and four-wheel bicycles that offer a more secure and thus more fun riding experience to these clients. It seemed natural to us that we might explore other riding options and new technologies to expand on the different needs we could meet in our community. You heard Liz speak about our work in the work group and what it is people wanted out of an adaptive bike share program. One of those key needs was direct access to a recreational riding area free of cars. Our location near OMSI on the east waterfront has been instrumental in providing access to the downtown waterfronts and spring water corridor as a means for fun and easy riding, and to be able to show off some of my favorite places to ride and the forward-thinking infrastructure planning of this city has been a complete joy I experience with every new rider. My personal experience with Adaptive Bike Town is very unique in that we strive to meet the very unique demands of every client. To be able to take time to fit, inform, and converse about their needs has a direct impact on every experience. It's so incredible to see the positivity and joy in providing a program where we can tell people that they matter, that we want them to have fun, we want them to have the freedom with how they spend their time and not be burdened with the highly prohibitive cost of specialized equipment and fitting experience. I routinely am met with gasps and smiles when explaining the program and the mere $5 it costs to ride. We've worked closely with other programs like Safe Rides to School and the Street Trust to help provide new means of transport outside of the waterfront area. It warms my heart to know that no children are left out of these amazing rides and programs because they might require something a little different. It is always a great experience meeting tourists as well who enjoy our program and are just blown away at what we can offer. It helps to maintain the view that Portland is an incredibly forward-thinking city years ahead of its time when thinking about the quality of life of all of its citizens. It is for these reasons that we are thrilled to stay on as the operational arm of this program and advocate for more programs like it. I've already spoken with other city coordinators from around the nation who are using our program and partnership as a model to bring recreation and transportation innovation to their cities.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you all. Does that complete the presentation?
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners Udaly, Fritz, Hardesty, and Fish. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler. I'm Kaya Sand, and I'm the Executive Director of Street Roots. We are a weekly newspaper that creates income opportunities for people struggling with homelessness and poverty. We work with about 160 people a week, about half of whom are homeless, who come to our office to purchase issues for a quarter that they can then sell for a dollar. So it's a way to get cash in pocket. It's a way to get a hand up. We're low barrier, meaning that anyone can walk into our office on Tuesdays and Fridays, go through orientation, and begin selling street roots on public sidewalks. People often try to establish sales posts that are regular so that they can get to know customers and establish regular sales. They have to spread out so that they're no more than two blocks from each other in downtown, four blocks on the east side. So what this means is that earning income is contingent on transportation. People need to get to their sales posts. And to give you a picture, people often pay for their issues of street roots with nickels, dimes, and quarters. So every coin is scarce. The more affordable, the more free transportation is for people, the more opportunity they have to get some income in their pockets. Bike Town for All has proven to be an important partner in this regard. Because of the Pay It Forward program, our vendors don't have to come up with cash up front. And because they can earn a dollar for every bike they return, they can aspire to keep access virtually free. I can picture one of our vendors, Mark, he donning the orange sunglasses and the helmet with his brightly colored socks, just animatedly going around returning bikes to make sure that he has that free access. So this is really an important piece of the whole program. And I want to emphasize, too, how important coming to our location has been for access. So we have a trainer from Bike Town for All named Scott who comes every month. He leads really animated, very warm workshops for our vendors, teaches them about safety, gives out helmets, signs up people to access the program. And what's really key about this is that people can feel comfortable in the space in which they're accustomed to and they don't have to go elsewhere. I think this makes all the difference in terms of street roots vendors accessing this program. So for our vendors at Street Roots, Bike Town for All is not about simply leisure. It's about actually having access to badly needed income. So we at Street Roots are grateful for the partnership with Bike Town for All.
Thank you, Kia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Mayor. Thanks for having me. My name is Phil Richman. I'm here on behalf of the Street Trust today. The Street Trust envisions a region where all those who call our community home embrace walking, biking, and riding transit. Biketown fits almost perfectly in line with our vision. When Biketown launched, I simply had to join the program as a founding member, even if just as a show of support for something that could offer so much opportunity for so many people. I'm privileged to live near a frequent bus line, have a choice amongst my own bikes, cars, including an e-bike or electric bike, Joanne. But Biketown simply changed my world into something I'd never had in the past. Biketown has expanded my life, extending my range and willingness to participate in what I deem to be life's essential activities, and I know it can do the same for others, as we've heard. In less than 3 years since launch, I've ridden almost 1,400 miles on Biketown.